And welcome into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. Doing really good. How are y'all?
We're doing really well. Can't complain. So hope you had a great weekend, sir.
Yes, we did. Restful weekend.
Good deal.
Ready to start another week of bringing the truth. And the truth is, a doctor can only treat your symptoms, including me. High blood sugar is a symptom. Tumors are symptoms. Migraine headaches are symptoms. Chronic fatigue is a symptom. We call these things diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, ulcerative colitis, psoriatic arthritis, all these itises, which is inflammation. But all these are just labels for symptoms, and these used to not exist. These are all new diseases. I don't even know how many diseases now. There's over 100 autoimmune diseases, and all new within the past 100 years. I was just reading about fatty liver disease in kids, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was crazy. It was something like 13 or 20% of kids.
Top two diabetics in kids.
Yeah, that too. But this non-alcoholic steatohepatitis is the official name, but basically it's like a cirrhotic liver, but not in an alcoholic, not in a drinker at all. And the first case diagnosed was in the past, you know, couple decades. So all these are new things over the past 100 years. So stewardship is one thing we need to consider. Stewarding, lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6, but then read that next line, because of rejection of knowledge. There is just the total ignorance and lack of knowledge, and usually through deception and the love of money we stay. The knowledge is not learned. But when we learn the knowledge, then we need to apply it. We can't reject the knowledge. So there's lack of stewardship from lack of knowledge. But where I've been pressed more and more and more, really over the past year and a half, is the deeper truths of the supernatural, outside the natural realm, and the impact on the natural. So your cells are just part of the natural realm, proteins and fats and, you know, these amino acids, fatty acids, glucose, carbs, vitamins, minerals. These are all part of the natural world. Then there's a supernatural world. That's your thoughts, your mind, your heart. Your vagus nerve runs your autopilot system. The autopilot system tells your heart to beat, tells your gut to digest food, tells your immune system cells to fight, your fertility hormones to be produced. That's all autopilot. That's going on in the background. You have no voluntary control of that. That's under the influence of your heart, your beliefs, your thoughts. It's powerful. Very, very, very powerful. In the world we're in today, everything's after our thoughts. Everything is after our seer, I call it. How you see the world, how you see God, how you see yourself, how you see the world, how you interpret every single piece of news you get. And does it trigger fear? Does it trigger whatever thought? Everything is after you, your seer, your believer, what you think, how you believe. So we're bringing in a repeat guest to talk about some of these things. I believe, actually, I'm not 100% sure what Madon's going to talk about, but Madon Wingo, actually, we did a three-part series with Madon. I'm looking back, January 16th of 23. You can find the first of Madon Wingo's interviews with us, and her part two was January 30th, and part three was February 6th, so not quite a year, but thought we'd bring Madon back on for kind of an update, not a annual update, but almost. I know a lot's been going on in Madon's world, and I just wanted her to give an opportunity to share. And it's cool to get an update after we have someone give a testimony. Someone as powerful as Madon's testimony. I've had so many patients tell me after listening to Madon's three-part series, it just got them thinking differently and exploring things differently and going deeper into the peace pillar in particular and into the truth, into God's Word. So I thought we would have Madon back on just to kind of give us an update. Madon, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Ben.
You're welcome. Maybe if you can, you'll do it better than I could. Just give like a brief 1-2 minute 30,000-foot view summary of those first three so people just know a little bit if they haven't heard it, how sick you were, what diseases you were diagnosed with, and that you overcame.
Sure. So I think a big part of my story, and those who listen know, was my history had a lot to do with it. I grew up in a cult. I had sexual trauma, physical trauma. I had mental trauma, was hurt by the church numerous times, had a lot of wrong thinking, a lot of fear. That all came to a culmination of a lot of diagnoses. One particular was a tick disease called alpha-gal, which was a delayed anaphylaxis to all mammal. And I was extremely off the charts with that disease, where any little bitty possible thing, cross-contamination, anything like that, could cause me to go into anaphylaxis. And so in and out of the hospitals and taking shots. At one point in time, I had like 10 different drugs, prescriptions that I had that we were trying to deal with. My body's immune system went haywire and decided that I would be allergic to everything for a while. And that was really challenging. And I can't even remember, like, all the diagnoses besides alpha, because I really try to just put those things out of my mind, because that's the old Madon, and it's not the new Madon. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot, though. There was so many different things. Just, you know, mast cell activation disorder and POTS syndrome and allergies to so many different things. And then I had a lot of circulation issues and all of that. And then add on top of that, I ended up having a birth injury, injuring my pelvis, ripping my pubic symphysis apart, messing up with my SI joint, ended up having to have an unexpected radical hysterectomy, screws put in both SI joints, had my coccyx removed, and had intended to have a plate put in on my pubic symphysis, but the Lord had other ideas, and I'm very thankful for that. So that's like a culmination of like all the wrong things that were going on. And the Lord, though, he spoke to me at one point in time when I was down on my knees and just in the midst of it, desperate, and told me that he was healing me. But I started finding out a few things and kind of got a little bit of healing. I will say I got like kind of a little stabilized, let's put it that way, in what I was dealing with, and got it kind of knocked down to just a few things instead of so many things. And then I settled for that. I settled for that partial healing and thought, I can live with this, I can handle it. But I couldn't. It came to a head during a stressful time in my life, with a lot going through midwifery school, dealing with some family illnesses and some things, and really basically a dementia moment. It was a catalyst that I realized I need complete healing on this thing. I need to figure out, like, how to bring that about. The Lord had told me, be who I created you to be. And I was trying to figure that out. Heard you say the same thing, Ben, on a podcast, and was like, okay, this is definitely something I need to look more into, and decided to really take time off of school, take time off of everything at the time, and really dive into, okay, I need healing. My body needs that, my family needs that, and I'm diving into it. And that led into an amazing journey over a year ago of diving into the Word, diving into my relationship with the Lord, who I knew I was, or who I didn't really know I was at the time, but then now I do, and renewing my mind, being transformed, and the byproduct of Him really showing me His love and who I was and who He created me to be, and having that relationship just strengthened with Him, the byproduct was complete healing.
Yes, it was. You know, and I mean complete. I mean, when I have a patient come in with the kind of story that you have, and even the true physical, I mean, your symphysis pubis in particular, that's a physical, I mean, not that it wasn't all physical, but I mean, you were hurting. You could watch you walk and see the pain in your face and in your limp and your gait. I mean, to see you healed fully, it's incredible. So I encourage people to go back, listen to those three parts. It'll be very encouraging for you. But Madon, kind of bring us up to speed, since it's been almost a year since our interview. Kind of, how's your health done, and and just what's been going on in your world and what's the Lord been showing you?
Oh, yeah, what a year it's been. It's been outstanding. So it really has, it's been over a year since he brought me complete healing with AlphaGal. And with all of that, I mean, it was like, boom, okay, I can eat whatever I want now. I can be around all mammal stuff. I mean, it was done. It was taken care of. Now, a big part of that journey was the renewing my mind, walking in the truth and really taking every single thought captive and bringing it into alignment with the truth. And if it wasn't the truth, then casting it out, like being done with it. And in the beginning, when the healing happened, and I know I've shared on the podcast before, but I had asked you, like, when do I know for sure, you know? And the Lord made it very evident, like, okay, now you're healed. And walking in that was a little bit trepidatious, I guess would be the word at the beginning. It was like I was standing so strongly on the truth, but the enemy had a hold of me for so long and a hold of my thoughts that he just kept trying at me and trying at me. Are you sure you're going to stand? Are you sure you're going to stand? And I really had to just keep just confessing out loud the truth and really take every single thought captive and make sure that I was staying lined up with the truth. And so as I kept doing that, then it's become easier and easier and easier because I truly have been transformed and my mind has been so transformed. And it not only led into this transformation of physical healing and fleshly healing, but it led into a transformation of really looking at the word with a perspective that didn't come from anything else, that it was only the Lord and his word and not a religious perspective, not a previous, you know, my personal history perspective or what I was told by somebody else, but it was truly like a raw perspective of the word. And when I started doing that, my eyes were so opened to what the Lord has for us. And that has just caused other areas of my life to just be transformed as well. So not just this healing aspect and this illness that I had and then walking in that, but then I'm looking at so many different areas of our life and, you know, family and friends. And if we're talking about like healing and what the Lord says about healing, well, then let's look at what does the Lord say, you know, about church? What does the Lord say about our callings, our careers? What does the Lord say about every aspect of our life? And coming from it, a perspective that doesn't have any religiosity into it. Like no Pharisee viewpoint on it whatsoever, but a viewpoint from, okay, Lord, you've told me to walk in the truth. And that's all I want is to walk in the truth. I don't want any of these other preconceived notions or ideas to come into it. And I'll tell you, that has been so awesome and at times hard because it's really hard to go against thoughts that you have had and especially things that are so entrenched into our religious atmosphere. So many times that we have been taught in different churches. I know you've got a history of growing up in the church, and I have a history of several different types of churches in my walk, that so many things are entrenched into those religious atmospheres that aren't the truth, that aren't rooted in who he says we are and our walk that we get to have with him. And that has made this transformation been so, like, extremely just rewarding in knowing that I'm not having any strongholds on me. I think that's the word that keeps coming to my mind is laying aside any of those strongholds, laying aside what anybody thinks of me, disappointing anybody, you know, maybe going against what's being taught in my particular church that I was attending or in, you know, in maybe our family setting even. And as a family, it has been such an amazing walk because we've started, like, so many things have changed in our family. One of the things that have changed is that we now have a weekly, sometimes even like numerous times a week, Bible study, communion time, and just wonderful worship time as a family. Not relying on outward, you know, resources, whether preachers or a church service or whatever, to have that communion, but instead just as a family, as that unit, really growing together and worshiping the Lord together. And that has been such a beautiful thing for our family and change for our family. You know, we have six children, and it's an amazing thing to gather your family together. And coming from a perspective of we're all equal at this table right here, what has the Lord shown you this week? What's been going on in your life? What is he showing you in Scripture? Let's talk about it. Share with us, please. And then praying for each other and praying for others. And one of the things that the Lord has, like, grown in me in this last year is when somebody, well, for one, not just when somebody asks for prayer, but looking for opportunity to pray for people and going and doing it immediately. Not ever putting it off, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you in my morning prayers or something like that. That's not wrong to pray for somebody in your morning prayers. But you were in that moment at that time with that person. Do not let that opportunity slide. And truly praying from a perspective of this, I know the truth, and I'm praying truth over you right now. And I've been amazed that even people who have gone to church their whole lives, when you pray from a perspective of that, like for one on healing, knowing it's the Lord's will to heal, knowing, never asking, is it be your will, Lord, will you please do this? Never coming from that perspective. Coming from a perspective, Lord, you have called me into your kingdom now, here on earth. I am walking and living for you. You have said that I am an heir with Christ. I'm a daughter to the King of Kings. And right now, I am going to lay my hands on, I'm going to pray for this person in your authority, in me, in Christ's authority, permeating my body, and I'm going to speak truth over this person into their body. I never, before this past year, that would have never came out of my mouth. It's just not something. In fact, I had some wrong thinking about that. And one of those, and I keep coming back to this laying down strongholds. One of those thinkings was that I'm not the one to do that. It's the pastor's job or it's my husband's job to do that, not me. I'm a woman and I'm a wife, and that's not my position. But the more and more I have looked into Scripture, the more and more I have walked with the Lord in this new kingdom living, I have seen, like, there is nowhere in Scripture that he says that I am to hold back because somebody else might just be. He just tells us to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you better listen. You better go and do what the Holy Spirit's telling you to. Don't let any possible viewpoint that somebody else might have affect you from listening to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's good. And I just want a real quick tangent on what you said about God's will, because that's a big one. You probably just poke somebody's belief system right there, praying for God's will to be done. So this is something I would encourage people to go and search the Scriptures, like the Bereans. The Bereans search the Scriptures like aggressively, like hunting prey, and clear your mind of any doctrine of man, meaning anything you learned in church. Go search the Scriptures yourself, but ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth before you start reading. And I'm just going to read a few verses here as I went on my search. Colossians 1:9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's Paul saying, I'm asking you to be filled with his will. Why would he say that unless we could be? John 14:9. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So everything Jesus did, put on display, his character, his actions, he only did what he saw his Father do, only said what he saw or heard his Father say. John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, Jesus is here to reveal the Father, which that's another verse real quick. Hebrews 1:3, Jesus is the express image of God. Matthew 11:27, no one knows the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. John 3:8, John 5:19, the Son can do nothing on his own, only what he sees the Father doing. And when Jesus tells the disciples, pray that his will be done, that would tell me it's because his will hasn't been done in the earth. It's up to someone in the earth to press into that, to do that, to administrate that, to enforce that, to walk in that, to be the accurate ambassador or representative of our Heavenly Father. And we know it is God's will that none should perish, but there are those that are perishing. I think when there's a temptation to just feel like God's just totally pulling every string and controlling every single action, thought, and consequence in the earth, and therefore we don't have anything to do with it, really. We're just sitting back and trust Him, and it's all going to work out for the good. And almost like this, we abdicate our responsibility. Can easily turn into the victim mentality too, by the way. So there was this lack of understanding of what our role is here in the earth, authority. What did Jesus come really to do? Because I was taught He came to get me to heaven. This is a big deal. Can we know God's will? Do we have a part to play in that will coming to fruition into the earth? So, I mean, that's a whole conversation, probably a whole nother show, but I just wanted to throw a few verses out to kind of get people curious. And that's, I want to just emphasize it, have a curious mind. I'm not trying to slam religion, but religion is what Jesus came against. And that's one thing I got sucked into, just this religious mindset, really, and didn't search the scriptures on my own with the Holy Spirit guiding me, leading me, showing me, opening, revealing a personal revelation to me, an aha moment. So there's a lot there on God's will. Anyways, I'll back to you, Madonna. I'll let you keep going.
One of the things that brought up that you were saying is we have a tendency, whether we realize it or not, that when we're reading something that maybe we don't necessarily understand, or maybe the church hasn't understood in the past, and so we've gotten all these different things, we'll read it and we'll say, so what he means is this, or but what he meant is this. And we don't even realize, at least I didn't realize I was doing that in the beginning. And now it's kind of a thing. I'm like, I hear somebody do that. I'm like, no, stop. What did he say? You know? And because our reality, maybe because we haven't seen something, you know, in front of us, doesn't mean it's not true. So we can't try to explain it away. We need to take them. Either the word of the Lord is true or it's not. So you're gonna believe what he said, or you're gonna make excuses for what he said. And I know I'm speaking very strongly here, but it is something that I had to really hear and really had to dive into, because what I was taught for so long, and I know is taught so much, is that you are just a lowly sinner. You deserve nothing. And you just should be thankful that the Lord has mercy on you, and that through God's mercy that you have been saved. Now, is it true that by his mercy I have been saved? Is it true that I was a sinner? Yes. Is that what the Lord has for me in the kingdom? No. And I would encourage you to go and read and see what he really says about that, who he says that you truly are. Because one of the biggest things for my walk that the Lord has shown me is that once you have accepted Christ, once you have become a believer, you are transformed into a new being, really. And in God's eyes, he can only see you through Christ. That is the only lens that he can see you now. Because Christ covered us. He paid for it. He took care of it. So when he looks at me now, he does not see, oh, Madonna the sinner again, but oh, I'll have grace and mercy on her, and he forgive her. That's not who he sees now. He sees his daughter, he sees his heir to the kingdom that he has asked to walk here in the kingdom to share his truth and love and light and to do the things that he wills for me to do the things that Christ did. That's what he's calling me to. That is very different attitude, thought process, walk than the lowly sinner that by God's grace I'm forgiven and thankful for his mercies each day because then maybe I can still do something.
Yeah. Really what you're kind of touching on, I believe, is its identity. I mean, it's what the serpent did with Eve in the garden. You put a question mark on who God is and you put a question mark on who God says you are. That's exactly what you're talking about. If we're just a lowly old sinner saved by grace and hanging on by the skin of our teeth for heaven, I mean, God knew you before you were in your mama's womb. He knew you specifically, individually, purposefully put you on the earth for a specific reason. He called you by name. He knows you in a way that it's an identity thing. I mean, you are here with a purpose, a true identity. So Satan's going to come after that identity. It's what he did with the three temptations of Christ, provision, protection, and identity. Bow down to me. I'll give you the authority over the kingdoms of the earth. So we've got to really know our true identity and not these false identities that get set up in us by, you know, the world telling us, you know, what the world think, who the world says we are versus who God says we are.
Yes, and we have a tendency as believers to say the world as in outside the church. But I would caution listeners to consider that if we had an enemy who is fighting against us, which we know is true, that there is, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but it's principalities, spiritual warfare happening. If we have this enemy who is against us right now, he would do all he could do to permeate those lines of thought and to permeate inside of the church. And if you could see me, I'd be having quotations, you know, the church, but the bodies that we gather in. And I would caution you to look at those ideas. Don't assume it's all coming from the outside world. Look at all of it, every single piece, of it, because our identity, it's too important. It's you can imagine if somebody was your heir and you have given them, like, you have this huge store of food and you know, clothing and a beautiful house to live in, and you have this all for them and you're so excited, this is my daughter, here, you can have all of this, and the daughter instead said, No, I'll take these rags and I'll come hide out in the corner behind the house so I can still be close enough to touch it, but I'm not going to ever step inside of that. How disappointing would that be as a father? Like, no, I have all of this for you and it's amazing and here I have this ready for you. This is who you are. And you choose not to take a hold of that. It is such freedom in Christ whenever you realize what the Lord has for you, that he doesn't want us in a spirit of bondage anymore. He doesn't want us to ever have fear. He has adopted us fully, and we are now heirs with him. I'm kind of paraphrasing Romans 8, 12 through 17, but we're his children. We are heirs with Christ, and he wants us to be glorified together. And that is it can rub you. I just encourage listeners to listen right now. The Lord does not bring condemnation. That's the enemy. It says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. But he does convict us. And I would challenge you, if these things sound really hard to you and it's rubbing you really wrong, stop and pray about that and really dive into that. Why is that rubbing me wrong? Is it because it's against what I've always believed? Is it because I'm thinking maybe that's going a little outside of where we're supposed to be? Dive into that and really look at scriptures and look at what the Lord has for you. Because if we believe we are constant sinners how in the world can Christ abide in us? Because he never sinned. You can't put sin on him like that. He already took care of that. That was before. And so if Christ is going to abide in me and live in me, then I can't also have the identity of a constant sinner, lowly, not worthy to come and talk to the Lord.
Yep. How does this relate medically or physically?
Oh.
Because I constantly hear in my patient visits, they believe they're unworthy a lot of times, or they're responsible for everything that they're not responsible for, and they're doing way too much. They have to keep everyone happy, people pleasing. They've got to perform to be loved. It's an identity thing. They're not secure with provision, protection, and identity. So it drives fight or flight. It drives you to make decisions. It influences your seer, how you see the world. And then you start making decisions based out of these mindsets that aren't the truth. I mean, it's a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky thing.
Well, and the thing that I was just thinking when you said that, one of the things is if you believe that the Lord, like, that we don't have much free will, that the Lord controls it all, because there's often this talk about him being sovereign. If you believe that everything happens because the Lord caused it to happen, then all those hurts, all those experiences that you've had that have been traumatic or abusive or terrible, you're also saying that the Lord did those things. And how can you look at a loving heavenly Father if what you see is, but he allowed this, but he did this? Well, he is sovereign, and he is in charge, but he is not in control of everybody. We have free will. He gave us free will, and humans screw up. Humans make very bad choices from the wrong line of thinking, and you can't, it's very hard to see a loving Father who really wants you to saturated in his love and walking that out in this kingdom if at the same time you're thinking, but Lord, you caused this to happen, and you allowed this person to do this to me, and you allowed this to happen, and you allowed me to get so sick I almost died, and you allowed my child to get this sick. You know, it's a completely different mindset. You have to understand that he loves you so, so much. But he has given us the free will to make the choice, because love that doesn't have a choice isn't love.
Yeah, there's no such thing as love if you don't have choice. You're just a programmed AI robot, only doing what you've been programmed to do. So there is this part we have called free will, and we can choose, and there's consequences of that choice. And through deception, we often think wrong and therefore do wrong, because our doing comes out of our being. And if we don't understand how to be who God made us to be, if we don't know what he called us personally to be, our true identity in Christ, but specifically, what did he put you here on the earth to be? If we don't know that, then we walk in this false identity. We start believing things that aren't true, and there are consequences for sure. And I'm right with you. I told my daughter the other day, Adam or God could not have named the animals in the Garden of Eden. And she said, yes, he could. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. I said, well, no, he told Adam to do that. So he's not going to take that back or go against that. When he gives that authority to someone, and he's not going to take it back. You know, he didn't cause my 16-year-old daughter to drive the speed limit today. She could have drove over the speed limit if she wanted to. He's not controlling our every little thing. There's a good little, I want to read real quick, and then we might need to take a break. This by Barry Bennett. Is God in charge, but we are in control? Why do so many Christians insist that God controls all things when he can't even control them? He didn't control Adam. He didn't control Cain. Exactly who does God control? Was God controlling the storm that Jesus rebuked? Did God make everyone sick that Jesus healed? Was Jesus undoing God's will and thwarting his control? Does God make you drive a speed limit? Does God make you always act out of love? Did God send the church into all the world with good news? And does he then go and kill those lost people with natural disasters to prove how good he is? Does the new heaven and new earth look like this earth? Wouldn't this earth look like heaven if God God was in control. Friends, God gave the earth to man, Psalms 115, 16, Psalms 8, 4 through 6, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. God allows man to choose light or darkness, life or death, dependence or independence. That's a big one. God is not controlling all things. God responds to our faith in his goodness. And we are continually destroyed for lack of knowledge and for blaming everything on God. That was Barry Bennett. We'll come back maybe on that and then go deeper into some other things too with Bendon Wingo. And again, guys, the point of this whole thing is if we're just going to stay in the natural realm and try to control every symptom with natural means, there's consequences to just treating symptoms. And the consequences in the United States of doing this for the past 100 years with allopathic medicine is we are now the sickest country in the world. We die the youngest. I just saw infant mortality rate dropped again in the wrong way. More of our babies are dying. That's been the case for a long time. More of our babies die than any country. But I think it was another 2% or increase, not drop, in infant mortality over the last 2 years. But adults are dying younger than any other country. Kids are dying younger than more than any other country. Maternal mortality rates are higher. We might talk about that later with you as a midwife, Madon. But any way you skin this thing, we are the sickest, and it's getting worse every year because I would submit for people to consider it. So we're treating symptoms, not dealing with root causes. And there's a connection between your thinker. Even Harvard published 98% of all disease starts with a thought. Anger, bitterness, resentment changes the physical structure of your DNA double helix. It tightens it up. The water that your DNA floats in changes physical structure from your thoughts and your spoken word. Been well proven. And of course, God's word says that very thing. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. All right, Madon, hang tight. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll keep going with Madon Wingo. Again, her first three parts of her testimony is back on her website, veritasmedical.com. Under the resource tab, you can look at the podcast page and then search for Madon under the search bar, and her three episodes will come up from January of 23. Okay, I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
And welcome back in to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com.
All right, we are back with Madon Wingo. Madon, thanks for being with us today. Feel free to jump off on commenting on what we just left with before the break, or we can talk a little bit about your midwifery, too. I want to definitely save some time for that, but any direction you want to go?
Well, I thought I wanted to share Colossians 1:21 first with everyone. It says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith." We were talking about how we see ourselves before the break, and that our identity, what we're walking in. And if you've accepted Christ and you are a believer and walking in the kingdom now, the way he sees you is holy, blameless, above reproach. That is amazing. I can't say that without smiling and getting excited, because that's so amazing that he says that's how he sees us now. And that's where our identity lies and where we're walking from. Because even if you go just below that in Colossians, he talks about how Christ in you, the hope of glory. Like, every time he talks about you now, it's with the identity of Christ in you. So he sees you as he saw Christ. That's a very different walk than how we're looking, our identity that we are really drenched in before then, before we realize this. And our mind is open to it. Because many times, if you go over into chapter 2, down in verse 8, it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." That's our wrong thinking. Or as a friend used to always say, "You're stinking thinking."
Yeah.
It's that's where our identity comes from originally. And we have all of these different people telling us the traditions of men and the way that we're supposed to act, or even as Christians, you know, how we're supposed to be and where our identity is. But when we let those things be transformed into his line of thinking, we become holy, blameless, above reproach, the hope of his glory.
Where we can walk in the light as he is in the light. Not halfway like, not partly like, but as he is in the light.
Now.
Yeah.
Not in some arbitrary future that we so often talk about. Oh yes, sure, when I get to heaven. Yeah, you're right, when I get to heaven. No. He says his kingdom come now. Is at hand. At hand, I can reach out and touch it. Like, no, he says now. He wants us to walk in as Jesus walked. He walked all these things out on earth as a man.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful that we, in the healing, obviously, that has been something that I've been very passionate about. After diving in so much, and the Lord numerous times showing so many different healings that I've seen personally and in myself personally, that Jesus, when he did all this healing, when we read, you know, in the New Testament, we read through Matthew, Luke, Mark, all of them, and we're reading all about these healings that he did. He did those things as a man, not of God. He does that to us as well. And when we can get that in our mind and reconcile that will open up us to so many things, to so much truth that I personally wasn't walking in before. And I wanted to share, if you don't mind, a little testimony about, we talked about my pelvis a little bit at the beginning of the show, but one day I was, you know, I'd been walking in this healing for months from all this mammal stuff and getting to eat, you know, whatever I wanted. Now, I think you and I had some conversation, like, just because you can doesn't mean you should. That was really important, that, yes, Lord, I have freedom, but I still need to steward my body. You know, I still need to eat nutritious, healthy, you know, foods, and I'm so thankful that I can do that now. I can do some fresh ground, you know, bread, make me some nice sourdough and eat it, and I can have some big, you know, butter on there, and it's amazing. So I was enjoying this walk, and I was a little, I wouldn't say discouraged, but I was really just searching out more about healing, because at the time, I was still coming to get shots, ozone shots, from you for my pelvis. And you provided healing in this one area, and I'm looking forward to seeing the healing in the other area. I just haven't seen it yet. So I don't know if I need to continue in these shots or look for some other modality or what we need to be doing. And I was coming home from clinic one day, and I put on the newest podcast episode that you had on You Are the Cure, and it was an interview with Jim Baker. And I was listening to this interview with Jim Baker that is all about healing. I encourage listeners, go back and listen to that episode. It was really good. And check out his ministry, because it's really good. So I'm listening to it on my way home from Abilene back to Sweetwater, and I felt the Holy Spirit just coming on me so strong, and the Lord talking with me, that I had to turn off the podcast episode because it was noise compared to what the Lord was doing. And I kept starting to pull over because I was just so overpowered by emotion from what he was doing. And I kept starting to pull over, and he kept like, no, I'm coming on I-20, you know, like there's all kinds of cars coming around me, and maybe I'm at a point that I maybe shouldn't be driving, because this is a little bit, there's a lot going on in the car. And I kept just, you know, just out loud talking to the Lord, and I could tell, like, I could feel heat radiating up from my pelvis. And I was like, I think, Dr. Ben, I gave you this picture that the Lord had given me early on about my pelvis, and it was basically like watching a skeleton and then the bones just lining up. mm-hmm. like they were supposed to be. Like the bones were out of alignment, and then they just lined themselves up correctly. Stood straight, you know? And this is what I see in my mind when this happens. And I finally make my way home slowly, and I finally get home, and as I'm pulling up to my house, the Lord is just telling me, walk, walk, walk. And I was like, okay. So I literally just jumped out of my car when I parked and just started walking on my road and just walking and walking. And I had this amazing encounter with the Lord that there's no way to describe it to anybody. It is the best high you've ever had in your life. It is the feeling of love and fuzziness that we talk about, but like 100 times. Like it's so hard to describe that feeling and what was going on. And I even saw my husband. He was out in our garden, and he was like, "What are you doing?" You know, kind of hollered at me across the way. And I walked over to him, and I was like, "I'm walking. You want to walk with me?" He's like, "Okay, but can you give me a minute?" And I said, "Nope, the Lord told me to walk. We're walking." So he caught up with me, and even he tried to ask me, like, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "I can't even describe it," because sometimes the Lord just, your spirit speaks to the Lord, and you can't even put it into words of what's going on. But all I could tell him was I knew my pelvis is healed now. And I walked until dark that night and saw the most amazing sunset that I think I've ever seen in my life. It was the most real sunset, like just so amazing. And I was like, okay, Lord, that's done. And now my pelvis is healed. And I think I still scheduled an appointment with you and came in. Dr. Ben, you can add to that if you want. But I came in to tell you, and you're like, okay, what are we going to do today? Are we doing shots? I'm like, oh, no, I'm not here for anything. I just want to give you my testimony.
Yeah, I remember that day. It was awesome.
It was.
And I just want to make the point here about treating symptoms versus healing, seeking the healer. And it's, I think, fine to treat symptoms. It's not the either or. It's more of, it's a personal journey. There's not a protocol, although I'm writing a book right now called The Kingdom Cancer Protocol, and the protocol's in quotes, and the book's going to be very clear that it's the Holy Spirit that will lead you into all truth. And while you're seeking your personal journey, treat symptoms all you want, but don't make the symptom treatment your savior. Don't make it your focus. Don't make it your idol and your everything, and your whole life revolve around these symptoms and treating them. We need to really seek the healer, and yes, healing's part of that, I believe, but the deeper thing is seeking the healer, because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory that Madon mentioned earlier, and that's a huge, huge thing to really get down in your mind. You know, the real reason we're here. You know, I had someone tell me, a guy tell me or ask me one day, why was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Why would God slay the lamb before he even created us, just to get us to heaven, if just getting us to heaven was the goal? It's because that's not the goal. There's so much more than mm-hmm. that. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 3, kind of 8 through 11, I think is where this is at. But this great mystery hidden for ages in God, so that through the church, which is us, the body of Christ, me and you, all of us, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The fallen mm-hmm. angels, we, the body of Christ, are going to put on display the manifold wisdom of God to these fallen angels. This is the great mystery. This is why we're here. Colossians 1:26, Christ in you is the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 2:14, through us, the fragrance of Christ is spread. Let me read that exactly. But thanks be to God, who in the Messiah constantly leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of what it means to know him. Through us, we're the fragrance. We are the aroma. For to God, we are the aroma of the Messiah. This is something unique and special about us, what God put us here to do. Christ in us is the hope of the glory of God. I mean, these are big, big, mind-blowing things. And if you've heard these verses just growing up, go look at them differently and ask the Holy Spirit to show them to you differently.
It's really difficult for us to glorify the Lord in all we're doing and walk out this kingdom walk doing the things that Christ did if us ourselves don't know who we are, mm-hmm. and we're sick, and we're diseased, and we're tired, and we can't do these things. How are we glorifying the Lord in those things?
Yeah.
It's hard to do that at all because we can't. Not while we're trapped in that, or bound, I would say, in that. So freedom, the Lord has freedom for us. So I finished school, by the way. I don't know if I said that. I'm a midwife now, providing home birth services. But one of the things that you and I talked about several times was how being prayerful when it comes to clients and in this work that I'm doing, and how the Lord has been showing so much how important our thoughts are and what we truly believe in our walk, and how that actually correlates to mamas and babies. It's amazing. A mom who has right thinking and is carrying a little one, and we talk about water, you know, holding memory and it going, you know, being carried through the whole body. Well, imagine that if you're a mama and you're pregnant. That little one is surrounded by water, and your thoughts are so important because they're getting carried to that little one. So if you are in right thinking and you are walking in this kingdom, knowing who you are and who you're created to be, and you're drenched in his love and peace, then that baby is getting flooded with love and peace. And what an amazing start that little one gets. But if you're in the opposite, think of what that little one is being surrounded by all the time. If you're stressed and if you're afraid and you have anxiety, all of these things. Now, I'm not condemning you. Anybody listening right now, if you're pregnant and that's the case, I promise you, I am not condemning you at all. I'm encouraging you that there is an amazing walk that the Lord has for you, and you have the opportunity to create an amazing start for your little one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's neat how something you said, Dr. Ben, once was that there was a specific client that I was asking for some advice about with you, and you said, you know, Madonna, I'm confident that the Lord is going to bring you exactly who you need to speak into. And I have seen that over and over now since you said that, because some clients that maybe might have what somebody might call a lot of things, like there's going to be a lot of stuff we're going to have to go through to help this mama to be able to have such a great start, to be able to get over these fears and anxieties and truly trust her body and trust the Lord and the way he created it, and be able to, you know, be empowered who God created her to be, and how she's able to birth this little one and be able to, you know, have the strength to do it. Like, it takes a lot when you're starting out from a background of disbelief and fear and anxiety, and to grow through that. But I know that the Lord has brought me through all of these trials that I've had and really opened my eyes to the truth so that I can impart that to others and encourage mamas in their walk and be able to help them be free from that anxiety and fear and wrong thinking. So I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And just real quick, I know you don't really want to plug yourself, but I want to plug you. And all midwives, actually. Midwives get such great outcomes. And, you know, mamas have been birthing babies for thousands of years, way before there were these hospitals and the American medical system that, again, gets the worst infant mortality and maternal mortality. And I'm not blaming all the doctors. We live in a world where the clients, the patients, haven't been told the truth. So they're not stewarding their health. And these doctors are limited in their knowledge, and they're limited in what they can do. So I think they're doing the best they can with what they know and what they've been taught and the clients they have. And but there's a more excellent way. There's the more natural way. There's the original way, God's intent. And that's constantly where I'm looking and asking, what was God's original intent? So midwifery, and specifically with your practice, Madonna, you're down in the Sweetwater area, but your coverage area, kind of go over that real quick before we have to call this.
Sure. I cover kind of a big midwifery desert area almost. I really go as far north as Post. Far south of San Angelo, I'll go over all the way to Big Springs, And then almost to Abilene, there's great midwives in Abilene, so I'm not really going to cover the Abilene area. But anyway, this side of Abilene, there's a big radius that I know has been lacking in midwifery services, and I want to be able to provide that for those rural areas.
That's awesome. Well, and there are some great midwives in West Texas. Lubbock's covered really well. Seminole down to Midland has some good midwives.
Yes, absolutely.
But this was an area that was
Abilene.
And Abilene was too. Yeah, Emeril's got some. But so this is great, Madonna. We really needed the coverage in that area. So thank you for providing a much needed service there.
Absolutely.
And just thank you for sharing again from your heart. I know it encourages a lot of people, and just want people to know that that wasn't just a fluke when you got well from all these crazy symptoms. You've remained well.
No.
And you've added to that wellness, and you've continued to seek and are
amazing.
Continuing to seek Him. We don't make healing our idol. We seek the healer. And one of the biggest things, identity. And I just want to throw this out at the end for those who are really want to press more into this. I had a patient just last week. I think this was Thursday, and I'd never met Christy before, I don't believe. But Christy came to coffee with Dr. Ben. We had a little deal at the Merck. It was a one-year anniversary at the Merck, so they put on a coffee, and I was there to just kind of visit with folks. And Christy handed me this book by Jamie Winship, Living Fearlessly, Exchanging the Lies of the World for the Liberating Truth of God. And, I mean, this was just Thursday, and I've been doing an all-out binge on Jamie Winship since then, the book and multiple podcasts. I'm going to have to try to get him on our show. But he's talking this exact thing, how to hear God's voice, how to replace your false identity with your true identity, your personal, who God calls you, what you're here in the earth to be, which is a vessel to shine Jesus through you. But Jesus is, there's so many characteristics. I mean, that manifold wisdom of God, it takes all of us, the full body of Christ, together, putting on display the culture of the kingdom into the earth, especially now. I really believe, you know, we're near the end. First seal may have already been opened, but that's a whole nother talk. But and whether it has or not, I mean, we need to be pressing into this no matter what the timing is.
Yep.
But as the fear ramps up, the one world government stuff ramps up, we don't need to get so fearful and then start trying to fix that in our own strength. Let's go whatever.
Well, no. Let's dive in instead.
Yep. Living fearless.
The way He has for us.
Yep. That's right.
So, I have one thing on my heart if I could
yes,
share real quick.
Yep. You have the last word, Madonna.
Okay. The Lord has really put on my heart, surprising me this morning, that I would like to offer some one-on-one Christian mentorship. If there's anybody listening that would like to speak with me, schedule some time and for some encouragement. I'm not an official counselor or anything like that, but I am happy to, we're called to be disciples and to mentor each other and build each other up. That's something I would like to start offering. And the Lord has really recently told me to open myself up to coming and sharing my testimony, whether in a group setting or a church setting. I am available to teach on what I've learned, to share my healing testimony, and to preach the good news of the kingdom here and now. So I just wanted to share that. You guys can, anybody listening can contact me to get something like that scheduled.
How would they contact you, Madonna?
At Madon, M-I-D-O-N, at beautifulblessingsbirthservices.com. Or I'm also at healingtraumamamas@gmail.com. That's my podcast episode, or my podcast on healing.
Awesome. Y'all check that out. Madonna Wingo, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you being here. Keep being the light out there in the world. And we will
absolutely
have you back sometime
Wouldn't
soon.
Wouldn't have any other way now.
Awesome. All right, everybody. That was Madonna Wingo. You'll check that out. We'll archive it on our website, veritasmedical.com. It's also on Apple Podcasts under You're the Cure on iTunes. All right, we'll be back next week with another great show. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.
That's right. You've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com.